It's Thursday night, time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Rita Strau, Steve Frampton, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maureen Holleran, and you are listening to The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Starting this week, we are now simulcasting live on PTN Radio, yay, at PeoplesTelevisionNetwork.com. Tonight, we are introducing our new show host, Rita Strau, as our new fellow co-host. And a warm welcome to you, Rita.
Well, thank you, everyone. My name is Rita Strau, and I talk with angels. That's my thing. I've been connecting with angels for about 5 years now, and they've changed my life. So I'm really excited to be part of the show and looking forward to a wonderful series on 2012 with the upcoming shows and with tonight's guest. So looking forward to it. Yay!
We're glad to have you, too. And hello, Steve. Hello, Steve.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
And Allura?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you.
Good. We're looking forward to this. This is going to be a good show.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this for a while. And it's time. This is the first. I'm really excited to begin our first show. It's 2012 Atlantis Connection is our show tonight. And it's our four-part series on 2012, so this is the first show. And with that said, tonight our very special guest, Dr. Ariel, world-renowned pioneering doctor and healer, as well as the number one best-selling author and recording artist, will be joining us soon. And the golden age of Atlantis was known as a remarkable time. We all kind of read a lot about that. Spiritual well-being was regarded and lived. And I found this poem T.S. Eliot wrote, and it's interesting. It's called The Four Quartets. There I go. See, I'm from Atlanta. Remember, I'm from Atlanta. Because we are telepathy, and we didn't talk. We just telepathized. Okay, I don't know what I'm saying. The ending is in our beginning, and as such, I believe that in the next 10 years, the intelligent within mankind will have no alternative but to look to their own true beginnings in order to know what lies ahead and what to do when we arrive at the Mayan zero hour, December 21st, 2012. I thought that was very interesting because that was written a long time ago. So, Dr. Aurora Juliana Ariel is a creator of The Quest and award-winning author of The Earth 2012 series. She brings an exciting missing piece to our present planetary equation with her unique perspective on 2012, weaving a blend of scarce prophecies, prophetic visions, and scientific predictions around 2012. She unveils a glorious potential that is casting its first rays of light on Earth, illuminating the dark night we are presently passing through and providing a missing piece to transversing the challenges of this time. I'm really looking forward to her, everybody. She's going to be really great. Anyway, be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show for a free on-air reading by four gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show for you. So get your pencils ready. If you were unable to catch our show on Creating a New Reality last week, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives for all our previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. So, without further ado, I like saying that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Ariel. Hello?
Hi, Maureen. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us. I'm really honored that you're here, and I can't wait to share all that you have with everybody. And I spoke with you earlier today, and you're just You're awesome. You're really awesome. Thanks. What's your feelings about this 2012 stuff, because there's so much of the doomsday and everything, and which I kind of want to try to get. I don't kind of go for that, but what is your feelings about what's happening with us or where we're heading?
Yeah, I think 2012 has been a focal point for a lot of negative prophecies, and of course, you know, I've been hearing them for many years just in this time period in general. I do feel that they're reflective of some of the shadow side of humanity that is emerging at this time. Of course, we're seeing a lot, and we have seen a lot. And I know that there's always potentialities before us of a greater war and things that the different prophecies have spoken to. But I truly believe in my heart from my own inner questing and what I've seen is that we're here to transform prophecies, to say no to the shadow aspect playing out again and again, and to really bring our authentic selves, ourselves into the equation to make a difference in this time. And what's really happening behind the scenes, I believe, more than anything, is a birthing of a new world, a new consciousness, a new set of values, and we've seen a lot of that happening. So yes, things are occurring on the dark side, but they seem to be a catalyst to inspire us to bring out the green technologies, to have more conscious parenting, to bring out, you know, a greater world of peace. So they're kind of working hand in hand.
Yeah, you know, you know, Edgar Cayce, of course, you know, he was really, I have a lot of respect for him, bless his heart. And when they asked him about what the New Age, this is, you know, in the 45, something like that. When they asked him what the New Age means to humanity, he replied, by the full consciousness of the ability to communicate with the creative forces and be aware of the relationships to the creative forces and the uses of same in material environment. Okay, what he was talking about, I talked to you about this earlier, not only Atlantis but Lemuria and also Mur. I talked to you about that, and I wanted to know if you kind of let us all know about what Atlantis, Lemuria, and how that they all kind of, you know, blend together and so on, how they, you know.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Maureen, how in our present time the influences of Atlantis and Lemuria are weaving through this what I feel is a very historic time. There seems to be an awakening of both the technological advances that were really Atlantean and the keynote, you know, of that civilization, if, you know, all we read and have studied and uncovered is true about Atlantis, the advanced technologies and the advanced awareness of using them. And with Lemuria, you know, is the rise of that mother consciousness, that mother of the world heart, who is known as the motherland. And, of course, in the Pacific Islands, there the ancient traditions in many of the islands, Easter Island and Hawaii, some of the kahunas understand their lineage going back to Lemuria, to this island that sank under the sea. And, of course, it was a big continent that sank under the sea. And there's a lot of archives now and documentation and mythology woven into it all, but also that Hawaii were like the mountaintops of that, and Fiji and all these islands were remnants of it, and the coast of California. So I find it significant that the Lemurian culture of advanced, spiritually advanced, consciousness-wise of a utopian type of a world, and in many regards, that that energetic in California seems to be a similar one that's been birthing, especially since we've seen it since the 60s. And all of these positive movements for positive planetary change, and so much that has been birthed out of California that has rippled across the world of this consciousness movement that has powered the human potential movement, which is really touching lives everywhere now, and a consciousness language that you find everywhere, even on sitcoms. So there is this birth of a new consciousness while we're becoming technologically advanced. And so there is an increased interest in Lemuria and Atlantis and searching for Atlantis and clues and Lemuria too, and it's kind of exciting.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I was speaking to you about Atlantis and Poseidon and all the other ones, but Atlantis was at one time, it almost like mirroring how what we've been doing for quite a while now, and you know, with all the stuff that we've created. Well, we've done a good job of doing that, and which has not been a real positive. I'm not saying life has been awful, but you know, there's, you know, we were talking about since, you know, World War II, well, the Holocaust, everything, all that kind of stuff, and eventually we're now here at this point in time. So anything that we're returning to is what we need to return to, because that's the way it was supposed to be. But we are going through this long lesson, and isn't that how what happened with Atlantis? That they actually ended up destroying themselves, when in fact they were starting out in a way of more the spiritual. But they went back. How would I say backwards or in the time?
Yeah, that's definitely the legends of, you know, it's sinking, and there's legends of Atlantean wars and airships and all that. I know. Some people are now seeing that, are finding that there are more pyramids around the world than we thought, you know, tying back to 10,500 years and 12,000 beyond years. So putting it at the same time period, possibly, where there's a global civilization like we have now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think, you know, as I've studied the human psyche, and that's been my area of research, that's where my scientist self has played out fully, and I've just found so much interesting material in there of understanding, just so much landmark discoveries I've made of understanding what's really going on this planet. And some of the basics that I found that are, I feel, are really relevant to this historic time, because we are gearing up. There is potentiality for a great disaster because of our technologies, again, like in Atlantis, and that human consciousness needs to shift so that there is heart with the technologies, you know, a consciousness using technology rather than angry people that are being driven mad by their human emotions or the human programming. So what I've found is that in every age, you know, there's just been this longing and dream for peace on Earth. And humanity's forever idealized romantic love, higher consciousness, higher, you know, archetypes. And yet we never have peace on Earth. And I found that the cause of all this, where all the troubles lie, all that is working havoc in our worlds, is really subconscious programming. So up until now, we haven't known this, at least in the known history that we're following in the last, you know, 6,000-8,000 years. We haven't understood the psyche. We haven't understood the subconscious, in that there's patterns and belief systems that or belief systems that create patterns that then start being magnified like on a projector screen into our outer life and into our outer reality, and that our outer world is reflecting a lot of the unhealed stuff happening. So as we see the crimes and the wars and all of the ill side of humanity, the shadow side, it really is coming from the psyche of humanity. And, you know, I'm basing this on thousands of cases and many, many, many years spent delving deeply into these conditions through working in the psyche, not just, you know, studies and books or anything, to find this, that while there's a lot of mythology around why people suffer, why good people suffer, karma, we're sinners, and all these, this mythology we've had in the last long period of time, and maybe forever on this planet, it really is all coming from the subconscious. So as we face the mounting darkness, let's say, there's of course mounting light that's exquisite, and I write extensively about it in my Earth 2012 books. As we face this increasing darkness, we're also facing in ourselves, it's coming up in this time, it's being catalyzed up. And so then it becomes a choice, like, do we play it out? Do we live unconsciously as our ancestors have, as, you know, humanity has, or do we heal it finally for the last time and create peace on Earth first in our hearts and minds and in our lives, and then let that go forth into our families, our businesses, our communities, our countries, our world. And I think that's really the crux of the moment, is a lot of people are waking up now to that, oh my God, we're advancing technologically, wars are happening in greater dire potentials with chemical warfare and the different things happening, and we actually need to bring consciousness to the equation.
Yeah, that's very well said. As in fact, you know, talking about we're experiencing an exponential technological, there's my talking again, progress. And, you know, I think Atlantis has been almost like a symbol of somewhat of a higher human being, a higher human being going on. So, like, because, so Atlantis, you know, because we have the stories, or if they're real or what, it really doesn't make any difference, because what you're saying makes a lot of sense, because Atlantis in our minds being symbolic of a higher human being and with telepathy powers and a greater sense of oneness with our race and a great ability to understand the universe. Really, this, they had issues in their own, if they had you around, for instance, during that time, I think things mm-hmm. may have been different as well.
Thank you. Having so much faith in me. I think, you know, the superhuman person, or that, you know, more evolved person, is who we are. I find it every time in every session I've worked with people, that as we heal what's been blocking them, the limitation, the anger, the fears, the low self-esteem, or whatever is playing out in their life, they return to who they really are, an illumined being, you know, a really exquisite, radiant, and intelligent, and very tuned in being. So I call this part of us the authentic self, and I was surprised even to find it that, you know, in delving so much into the shadow self and these patterns and how they play out, and they go down to the core beliefs that I'm bad, I deserve to suffer, and I'm unworthy. You know, humanity is carrying all that, and out of that is born all these, the suffering. But as I delved in and was, you know, created a way to heal, to isolate and heal these parts and do it really fast, which is through the quest, my life's work, I found every single time in every case that the person returned to their authentic self. They returned to that higher awareness, to that loving connectedness, to the person with ingenious, you know, insights and ideas and creativity and abilities. So I would say in this time, it's more about unlocking our superhuman potential, you know, the higher potentiality and higher destiny of humanity and of our souls. And I love the quest. I use it all the time myself, and because it just clears away so fast when something's up and there's a program running and you feel limited or worn out or heartbroken or burdened and you're not yourself, you know, within an hour, for me it's like 10, 20 minutes, you're back. You're back to yourself. And I've proven now in my own life and with clients and students now that it is possible to live in that authentic self most of the time. There's so much accumulation in our psyche of the shadow that I've trained people to not be in a negative dynamic with it or have judgment about it, but just as it comes up, see these wounded parts of self as like little children or friends needing help, and really just heal them. Heal the each one for the last time as it arises. And what happens is it just puts you on this ever-ascending awakening path. It's extremely accelerated, very exciting, because it is when we're in our self, our true self, is where all the magic happens, the synchronicities, the blessings, the miracles. It's the miraculous life. And then what it does is when you gain that level of mastery, then you end up shortening the time of misery in your life. So, yeah, you go through the hard hits with everyone else, but you're not suffering for 8 years. You're not depressed for 3 weeks, you know. You're not angry forever. It's you're freeing yourself from prison by prison by prison by prison as things arise. And when you're not doing the inner work, you're creative. You're making the most positive choices for yourself. So you're actually creating more heaven on earth in your life experience, and you are more loving. And so you are anchoring that on earth. And I believe a lot of people are attending to their inner world now on the planet, and that's what's helping catalyze the big shift towards a more conscious future. And why I believe we could be moving into a really glorious future in spite of everything we're facing and how dire it looks sometimes.
You know, you know what my feeling is when you're just saying that? It's almost like we are creating what we've always thought about what Atlantis was. We are, we are a little bit at a time. With what you're talking about, with, because like how everybody always talks about, you know, on Atlantis, everybody honored the family. Everybody had a sense of self-worth. Children immediately were treated well. But this also is part of what our journey is, to get back into our true skin and do the work with that now and make ourselves as the, you know, whether it be, you know, legend or whatever, ourselves, the golden age of Atlantis. We are actually needing to do that, not just kind of wait for it to come about, and we're going to have all this insight because Atlantis comes up rising from the ocean, which is not really the case. Because if we get into our true skin and our true authentic selves, of course our children will be benefit by that, and we will start communicating differently. We will start, I mean, unbelievable things will happen. As it is at this time, even during the time of some of the still the darkness stuff that's going on. So, is my understanding correct on what that, you know?
It's incredibly exciting, and I'm excited from my findings that the truth of who we are is we're spiritual beings having a human experience of quite extraordinary qualities and genius and ability and talent. Where we've lived limited lives is just that human programming that has passed generationally for, you know, millennia. And we can heal it. I am so excited that in the last century, pioneers started going into what I call the last frontier, the psyche. And, you know, we saw birth, gestalt, NLP, psychosynthesis, and some of these great early on ways of dealing with and isolating parts of self that were under this programming. And, you know, I mastered quite a lot of these and went on, you know, through my own pioneering research and work to develop the quest. So I would say, you know, the quest is like a Ferrari model of psychological healing. And we now know that, you know, the psyche, of course, and the whole study of psychology is a study of the soul, the psyche. So it has all the components of the higher self, the conscious mind, the subconscious. So we're finding that consciousness is not just in the brain. Our minds are just not in the brain, but it's whole-bodied. And what I find with this work is, you know, when you shift these patterns, physical reality shifts. And I think, you know, the wedding of science and spirituality in this time are bringing calm some of this understanding that we are like these masses of swirling molecules. We're not necessarily solid. And so as you do this inner work, it shifts that. And I see it in people that I've worked with time and time again, where even I can't see their face, you know, because all the molecules are rearranging. And so it's like we're restoring ourselves back to the patterns of perfection, restoring ourselves back to who we really are, and that's divine, and it has that purity and that innate innocence. For me personally, I've gone through so much in this life, and I feel like it's all been perfect, of course, so that, you know, I had huge, huge things I had to extricate myself and restore myself from and go through and make it through, and it really did birth the quest. At the same time, you know, it is a miracle that, you know, I have a heart that's wide open, and, you know, I live so much in my carefree, passionate, alive self that I found a way that, you know, you can live contrary to what would be normally dictated by a life or an adult life like I was dished out, you know, that are planned out or, you know, in its perfection that I experienced. I really shouldn't be how I am today. So I've literally proven on myself and then countless others that we can restore ourselves no matter what has happened to us, no matter how wrecked or ruined or beaten down or destroyed or handicapped or limited we feel. That is not the truth of who we are. And the quest is really brilliant in that it quickly can take a part of us that is, like, maybe was abused and feels incredibly beaten down and restore it. And we feel restored.
And, the quest is a different... I really want to get into that myself personally, and I'm going to talk to you about that later. But because I think you've got something really, really remarkably wonderful to offer many people, especially right now. It's a good, the timing is here. From what I understand, what is the Earth 2012 series about? And then also you have a new book, or is it two different, or is it one of the same series of books?
I have four out so far and many more in the works, and three of them are from the Earth 2012 series. Earth 2012, The Ultimate Quest, How to Find Peace in a World of Chaos, and then there was Earth 2012, Time of the Awakening Soul, How Millions of People Are Changing Our Future, and then I just came out with Earth 2012, The Violet Age, A Return to Eden.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a great... I love the title of that. What is that all about?
Well, I laid down the whole groundwork from my unique perspective in book one, and it really brings out the voice of the research psychologist, scientist, humanitarian, futurist, but also mystic, you know, healer. And I kind of lay out what's happening on the planet in this time and weave in a lot of the prophecies, predictions, some of the things I've seen myself as well. And then I bring a remedy for a world in travail and transition with the quest. And I lay it out, and I just lay it out so anyone can do it. And I have developed it as a self-healing system as well as training counselors and life coaches so that they can serve their communities. Then the book two, Time of the Waking Soul, kind of launched off of that book where I was cataloging the violet person. And in that book, I have the 22 master qualities of the violet person. And the violet person, to me, is the awakening soul. And, of course, we've heard of indigo and all these types, and I would say these children are violets, you know, that they all fall under that violet signature. And the violet signature is very much, you know, personal and planetary transformation. So I'm talking about souls in particular who have come to Earth at this time to help bring us through the change in a positive way. And what's happening is an alchemy, you know, which is very violet ray, which is very seventh ray, in internal alchemy that's taking place in this soul group, which I'll speak a little bit more in a minute of it, but that is actually catalyzing the big changes we're seeing that launched not only the all these movements and bringing in the green technologies and, you know, conscious parenting and all of these incredible systems, endeavors, projects, and businesses for positive planetary change. But the unique thing about the violet person, they're the way shower, and of this time, the teachers, healers, and way showers that were prophesied before by all the different Indian nations individually, who spoke about a time of travail on the planet and the gear up of some dark potentialities when these people would be born throughout the world, and they would be born into every race and culture. So they called them the warriors of the rainbow, and rainbow meaning multicultured. I've done researched into Anderson and Ray's research in their book, Cultural Creatives, who speak about this cultural change that is happening, the subculture that is shifting the planet because the people in it are shifting in their values. And they talk about a core group within their group, and that really was matched up with these violet people I've been cataloging. So I got very excited about that. But it helped me to understand the numbers we're dealing with because they worked on this for like 13 years. And I would estimate between like 50 to 80 million of violet people on the planet today working towards positive planetary change, but also very involved with their inner world and shifting and, you know, coming into who they really are and or finding the way. So you see a big exodus into, you know, a lot of seekers, and the whole theme, the background theme is this awakening and this ascension and ever ascending year after year into a whole new consciousness and more of their authentic selves. So in book number two, I not only lay out who they are and some prominence, I think, in society, well-known people that I would think are violets and why, but, you know, people can take the test and see, you know, how, you know, these 22 qualities, master qualities, match up with them individually. And then I start sharing some stories from violets, some stories on awakenings, of healings, of life changes and life transformations. And so it's a pretty exciting book. In book three, I go further with the violet person and really speak about this being a violet age and that what we're really here and to do, what it is really about is terraforming the earth with the light consciousness. And how do we terraform the earth with the light consciousness? And for those of you that don't know the word terraform, I'm sure maybe you've heard about science fiction ideas of, and even now modern science talking about taking Mars or a planet that's barren and terraforming it so it becomes like an Eden. All and right. The technology around that. So what I'm looking at is a birth of Eden, and that there's this amazing terraforming going on, but how is it going on? And the way it's going on that I see is that people are waking up to their authentic selves and beginning to finally on Earth empower their authentic selves. And those selves, those illumined selves, the ones that carry the code, the secret code for the new world, for conscious living on all levels, encoded with the inventions and the beautiful technologies and the beautiful systems to birth the golden age on Earth. And it's right within us. We all carry that. It is our innate divinity and destiny. But up until now, we haven't had the tools to actualize that destiny on Earth because we've been so pattern-driven and run by our subconsciouses and living the fates dictated by our subconscious programs. We haven't known how to actualize the authentic self, and we haven't known that we need to heal the shadow to let our self emerge. And then once that part of us is fully active, then it will naturally create heaven on earth and let our relationships flourish in our homes, you know, in our parenting, in every aspect of life. We're seeing a huge renaissance on earth right now with music, books, films of a higher vibration and consciousness than has been on the planet forever. And this is coming right out of the authentic cells of awakening souls, and I would say primarily from the violet person. But the violet people are here to initiate and activate all the peoples of Earth so that you can see how the violet person consciousness languaging has been like a wildfire that is catching. And so we see consciousness languaging now across the board, like I said, even on sitcom. So I do thank you so much for letting me come on the show, because in the midst of all the dire prophecies and predictions, I'd like to share this amazing thing that's really going on. It's a true thing happening on our planet today.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like, in a way, it's like there's spiritual soldiers. spiritual soldiers are out.
And healing our shadow is a sacred offering to a planet, because when we heal mm-hmm. these programs, we're healing it for ourselves, our family lineage, and for everyone, because on that strata of the collective unconscious, all the programs are running havoc and wrecking our world and making every ugly, hard, and challenging thing, and that is what is at the heart of suffering. And I haven't found anything else at the heart of suffering, so this is really exciting. We can finally understand what's at the heart of suffering and the cure, and we can be about this great service to the world, to humanity, to our families, to our future generations and ourselves, and free ourselves in the prisons now of all of that, because it's not necessary.
Well, you know, the world's not, I mean, are we? What do you think about, is the world coming to an end? Or something, probably, I think. What do you think? I
really don't think so. I think we could blow ourselves up, of course. I think all those dire prophecies speak to a potentiality because of the because people don't have control over their shadow selves. So they're very reactive on this planet, and they don't have the mastery that must be attained to use advanced technologies wisely. So since humanity are like 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds a lot of times, even people, I'm sorry, but you know, even people running our governments, they haven't that level of mastery, you know, of quelling the shadow self and empowering their authentic self, we're in danger. Yeah, definitely. But I don't think the whole world would end. Like life, the whole molecules of this reality this is like a virtual reality experience we're all having here, you know, where we come in and go down some kind of chute and take on the chip of our family patterning, and it's like a video game, you know, and then we're doing the next life, we're doing the next experience, and then we go back to the true reality, where we all live and dwell and who we really are. But in time and space, and will this particular planet blow up? We have the technology, but I think there's enough millions of conscious and awakening people today that's why I think a lot of the prophecies like California falling into the ocean and other things are not coming true. I do think that as we wake up and take our rightful places in the area that is our service, we count, you know, we matter, and we are important to the equation of how it will play out, and it's a wonderful game we're all in. It's a really fun adventure, like, will the planet blow up, or will we go into golden age? You know, there doesn't seem to be any prophecies in the middle, you know?
Dr. Ariel, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're going to stay with us, though, of course. And we'll be right back from a word from our sponsor at psychicaccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back. Yes, we are. And we're back with Dr. Ariel. And we were talking about how all good is going to come from this. Dr. Ariel, what about people that bless their hearts? But what about the people that are struggling with the concept of, they're still the tweeners, I call it, the tweeners. They're struggling with their inner selves, or they're getting something, but they're not quite understanding. They're mixed up a little bit. And a lot of them are people that are running I'm not going to get all political. It's not about that. But, you know, what about those people? Do you see some changes going on with some of these and with the corporations, with our economy problems?
Vast changes, vast positive, amazing, miraculous changes are happening in every area of life right now. So much consciousness. I mean, to even have a president that would talk green technologies, whether he does it or not, but, you know, just at least be talking it. That so many people now are taking care of their bodies and know about healthy foods, and that, you know, our markets have organic foods, and that baby foods is organic ones, and there's conscious parenting courses and sacred sexuality rather than gross sexuality.
Yes.
Courses. Now, they're like in every area that we could list, consciousness is having its way, and it's just a matter of timing for everybody to wake up, because when people start waking up to themselves and who they really are, that's when they start linking up, you know, linking up with what's really going on right now, linking up with consciousness and that universal divine presence that is just bathes our world daily with light and enfolds us all with love. And I think the most important thing is deep in us, we took on this belief that we're bad and need to suffer to redeem ourselves. And Redemption of a Planet is my next upcoming book, and the 2012 series. And I think this is one of the most prevailing patterns that must be addressed in all of us, that every time we suffer, if you trace it and you do the inner work, you will find belief systems that I need to suffer, I deserve to suffer, I'm bad. And that there's been this whole concept on the planet that suffering redeems us, purifies us like fire. You know, redemption through healing is really the true way, because when you heal these patterns and belief systems, you uncover a lot of mythology and misinterpretation that cause needless suffering. So there's a lot of self-punishment going on that is needless and redundant and overkill at this point. A world in peace is a world where people have healed and resolved these inner belief systems and patterning and know themselves as divine and know that they are deserving of love and the highest life can offer, and know that they're pure and innocent. And we are. I found it in every case I've worked with violent people, addicts, abusers, people ruin people. Thing we've ever done is make that part of us go away. It lives within us, but actualizing it is a different thing. We could live our whole lives and not be aware of who we really are, and that we are innocent, we are pure, and that we can learn through healing these things
and redeem ourselves through healing, not suffering. And that's extremely important in this time period, because it is the patterns and the need of suffering that could bring a third world war and some of these dire calamities. So it is really imperative that humanity awakens in this time and heals these false beliefs.
You know, excuse me, I get all choked up. I just love talking. I get all choked up because I'm really passionate about, this is not an ending that we are already been in, but a really opportunity for a new beginning on as a collective, as you were talking about. A lot of people that do work, spiritual work, healing work, are also ones that have been wounded. We spoke about that. And those are the people, or they could actually, would they be maybe some of the people that you would call violets? The ones that maybe weren't the Indio children, but the ones that have, that are here to kind of help lead us into, not being leaders, of course, but as spiritual soldiers, aren't they actually the ones really that really need to get down into the doing this work so they can properly, properly bring this or help us into what lies ahead for us? We're already on the path.
Right.
Do you see a lot of
right.
that with the spiritual people like this? I guess what I'm saying, having trouble.
I mean, that's the whole crux of it. You know, our challenges seem to be the catalyst for our calling. And if you haven't had challenges, you definitely don't develop a heart for humanity many times or most of the time. Maybe a rare soul. You know, it really is when we suffer, then we can hear and empathize with other people's suffering. It is important, if we're going to fulfill a higher destiny, to heal our wounded self. We can be wounded 80 years and do the work, or like my son, who started doing the work when he was 16, Aridaeus, and I started passing it to him, can clean it all up younger. Aridaeus trained with me for a year and a half, and it was phenomenal, the early childhood and some of the things that he was healing that changed his whole future and destiny, that alleviated him needing to go through some really, really horrific things in the future born from the patterns he was clearing. And to see somebody do it that young, and he and I, inspired by him, created a healing forum for teens in Aspen together. And it was remarkable to see these youth at risk transforming their lives from within so fast and changing their destinies, that they didn't have that same future that would have been dictated to them had they not done the healing work. The keynote of us bringing forth a higher effort, a more enlightened effort in this time, is that we free ourselves from this, because if we live out of our woundedness and out of the patterns that are all accumulated in us, you know, we cannot actualize that potential, and the world will pretty much stay the way it is forever, you know, very messy, lots of suffering, some good things, but that end very quickly and go into the hard stuff again. So, you know,
Dr. Ariel, I'm sorry. I think I accidentally cut you off. I didn't mean to. One of the things I wanted to ask, if you don't mind, is I know you mentioned, I think it's really good, you know, what you're saying, that the younger you are and the younger we clear these things, the better. Otherwise, you can kind of, and it doesn't matter. I don't know. I feel like however old you are, you can always do the work. There's, you know, it's always there. But when you talk about clearing, what do you mean by that? How do you clear?
Well, I laid it out in my book, The Quest, Heal Your Life, Change Your Destiny. And I'm so committed to everyone having these tools that need them, and so people can restore their lives and actualize their full potential and their highest calling, that I've been gifting it for free since it came out in Christmas. Off my website, AuroraJulianaAriel.com and thequest.us. And it lays it out for everyone. It helps you understand and demystify the psyche and how to gain mastery over your psychology, so you're not wrecking relationships with anger, but you're doing your, you know, self-healing process. It gives a 7-step process
Okay.
I'm happy to go through it with you in depth if you want more depth, but it's a 7-step psychological healing process. Like I said, a very cutting edge from the early stuff that came out last century, like Gestalt and those ones, where I found a way to isolate. Let's say you're angry, okay? You're just livid, and you feel like tearing into your mate, but you know that if you do, there's going to be 8 weeks you don't get love because he'll shut down and go in his cave. So instead,
yes,
you go in your bedroom and you're fuming, and so then you're like stuffing it. So now you become bitchy for 8 weeks. So your relationship's not happy anyways because it's coming out in little nitpicky ways. Well, I think we've all seen over and over and over again, whether you vent it or suppress it, it really doesn't work. And both can make you ill, dwelling in those emotions so much and or suppressing them. You can get very seriously ill. And I have in the past, but people have to read that in the book. And what's important instead, and where you can, this is where you gain the mastery, which is so exciting to me, because being Italian and everything, you know, I was more had to quell anger and temper rather than suppression. But
right.
I have family members that do the suppression thing, and so I got to see vicariously how it causes depression, et cetera, et cetera. In that moment where we're triggered, what's really happening is whoever triggered us, it's not really about them, but no one knows this. They're actually serving us, because if you think about our life as a soul evolutionary path where we're becoming more evolved, we're becoming more conscious, we're evolving, okay, into a higher form of humanity, then they're triggering us. It's triggering what I call an inner aspect, or it's a sub-personality, it's a part of us, okay, in the subconscious, that people have called the inner child and some other names to give it, you know, kind of a clothing that people could relate to. But basically, when your anger comes up, it's an inner aspect. It's not you, and it's not your authentic self. Your authentic self is always peaceful, calm, happy, alive, passionate, loving. Wherever you're angry, frustrated, irritable, depressed, anxiety-ridden, have fear, that's the shadow. That's an inner aspect. So when you get that, when you totally understand that, you can make a really wise choice. Sometimes we blurt things out, but you can catch it fast. Basically, with the 7 steps, the quest 7 steps, in step one, you're actually allowing yourself to feel it. Okay, so instead of screaming at your mate, you can go in your room, grab your journal, and say, I hate this, I'm so angry when he does this, blah, 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 blah. Pour it out. And then as you're getting in touch with the feelings that are up, that's when you step back and you actually get a visual image of the part of you that feels that way. When you do that, you've become the master in the situation, not the victim to the drive or the anger. And now you're not being run by it. You're in the control seat to be able to minister to it. And it's really always important to embrace these part of ourselves lovingly. That's how we can get them to heal and transform. And then you take that part through the 7 steps. You hear it feeling. You see how it's affected you on all levels. Because it's been in the subconscious a long time, and it's been adversely affecting you. But you have not been consciously aware of it until your mate help trigger it up so you could finally deal with it. Well, you might go from anger of what your mate did to, in your session, find you were abused as a child. And because you were pounded and mistreated, you took on these beliefs about yourself of worthlessness. And then you get to see in the session how that affected your future. And then you get to go back and update it with the truth, with the higher wisdom, and which is very easy to do in the session, the way it unfolds, see what was a higher purpose and kind of some of the strengths and gifts you gained from such a hard pattern and life experience, and why it was meant for you. Maybe you're meant to help people or in some way, or have more empathy, or, you know, be more creative. And then you heal that part. There's a transformation piece to it where that part is transformed back to your innate self and identity. It is restored. So
that overlay that was infecting your life, that was literally creating havoc. And kind of everyone knows we get similar things and marry the same kind of guy as our mean father, or, you know, these patterns play out. And you're like breaking that cycle and literally stepping onto a new future path that doesn't have that part creating that havoc. Now you have it aligned with your higher self, your authentic self, empowering you, empowering your self-esteem rather than diminishing it. So that's the magic, and you can do it really fast. My son does it really fast, and when I train him, we did back-to-back sessions a lot, and, you know, you could get it done in 20 minutes. When you're journaling it, it really lets you go deep and really get to the heart of things, and then you can always look back at the date and go, wow, I'm so different right now. I have so much more inner peace and confidence, and, yeah, I did that session on, you know, August 20th, and wow, it's just 2 months later, I feel so different. You know, I feel so empowered because I healed that and I found that wounding and I transformed it. So it's an incredibly powerful and empowering path. And, you know, then you're off creating because you're back in your authentic self. And instead of being angry at your mate for 8 months over it, or 8 weeks, or 8 days, you've resolved it. So you come back into the living room and you're your loving self, and that love just naturally catalyzes more love in the relationship. And usually when you've shifted, the other person shifts, because it takes two to be in the dynamic, and when we shift, they don't need to play that role for us anymore. I've helped a lot of women that are abused get out of abusive relationships that way, by unlocking it all from within and all the causes and cores of why they were being abused, because of the belief system, because of what happened and their misinterpretations when they were young. And when we do this work, the last person I helped free of abuse, and she writes about it on the Quest website, Linda Camarada, who's actually giving phenomenal deals now because she's apprenticing as a counselor and life coach with the Quest, like $25 and $35 an hour for sessions. If anyone wants them, go on thequest.us. But she has her story in there, so I can share about it. But she was just heavily abused psychologically and really beaten down, and found my first book and you know, had it in her bed with her for 6 months, her lifeline, feeling suicidal, feeling like she couldn't go on. And she started taking my training, and within 4 months, she had healed the causes and cores of a lifetime of abuse. And everyone she had ever manifested, any guy, has been abusive, or, you know, and had regained her self-esteem, moved the abuser out of her house, been reclaiming her health and vitality, got a job, so money was now flowing where it was running out, and she was too dysfunctional to be able to even work. And then a couple months later, manifested the most wonderful man, Paul, who now is on our global team for bringing the Quest out worldwide, and he's helping us right now get ready to raise funds so we can bring the Quest to prisons and set up our international headquarters center in Malibu here, and open up the school formally so that I can take more students at once and certify and train people, you know, in the Quest and life coaches and counselors. And it's just, you know, she's a testimony, like my life is a testimony, that we can change it all, and that no matter how wrecked and ruined we are, we can restore ourselves, and quickly. And I see this all the time. I worked with other people with really severe cases and turned it all around really fast. And the reason is not because I'm a magician, but it's because I found a way to heal the overlays and the core belief systems creating the havoc, and so that to restore people to who they really are. But the miracle that emerges is really who they really are. And, you know, the Quest just undoes the prison and the prison bars and the causes of the prison and the core, you know.
And the self-imprisonment that we put ourselves in as well, I think. And, well, I know that I do. I put myself self-imprisonment a lot. And, you know, I need to close the show down, and I really appreciate you joining us tonight. And I want everybody to know that you can go check out her web, Dr. Aurora Ariel's website, and it's at http://www.aurora, I love it, Aurora Ariel.com. And you also can find Dr. Ariel's contact information on our guest page, which will be there forever, at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. And I'm going to talk to you again outside of this interview and talk to you more about what you're doing, because I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate you coming on.
I have a starting January. So anyone interested in mastering this and transforming their lives while learning how to help others, you'll have a be able to practice in 9-10 months with the upcoming course. So that's all on the website. Please contact me.
Yeah, I think they will. And like I said, you're on our page forever. So, and I'll be contacting you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Maureen, thank you. You've been a brilliant shining light to the planet for sure with this show, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you. And I look forward to talking to you soon for future things that's going on with things that I want to get into and so on. So you'll be hearing from me soon, very soon. So thank you so much. And there you have it. There you have it.
Hi.
And I think it's great. And I need to talk about, I would like to take a moment to make a few announcements for, next week we will continue our four-part series on 2012 Exposed. And please be sure to join us on October 14th. 21st and the 28th, as each co-host presents their own show theme on 2012 Exposed series. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site for anything psychic you would like to learn about. You can learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-to-dos of psychic development and much, much more. It's a wonderful site. And so if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, of course, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified, accuracy-tested psychics. And I'm sorry. Each with their own unique gifts, each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. And it is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access, because of the high expectations required of each psychic, as well as continuing to live up to being the best with integrity and a caring heart. It is remarkable how much respect we have for each other, and above all, for Doug. So, all the co-hosts here, I want you to know, we all are on the site at Psychic Access. All the co-hosts here at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at PsychicAccess.com. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, we'd love to talk to you. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, I urge you to go to http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters.com. Okay. Now, the call-in number. I'd like to give out the call-in number. And are you ready? Here it goes. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. And we're now going to go. I keep getting a... I'm so popular. You guys don't know what's going on over here. I'm just so popular. And I'm laughing at myself. Anybody else want to laugh with me? No, thank you. It kind of breaks things up. I'm like, am I out there? Am I
Maureen,
alone?
You're awesome, Maureen. You're so good and bubbly.
No, you know, you guys are really. It's not me. I crack up on myself. But anyway, we're going to have our banter now, everybody. We should have a little dong, ding.
Okay.
We're going into our talk. our conversational talk for that we do every week. And I haven't even checked in the chat room. I don't know what's happening, but I do know that we're simulcasting tonight, everybody. And I know that this is a really exciting time for us. We're heading into a new beginning, and I feel really good about it because we're kicking butt. We're going. Anyway, I have a question for Allura, if that's okay.
Okay, sure.
Okay, according to Diana Cooper, which I have a lot of respect for, and she's a spiritual book author and speaker on 2012, and marks the opportunity for the return of the Golden Age of Atlantis. Can you tell us exactly what up with that?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I thought that was interesting because I had never really known much about it. So when I went over, I kind of was researching about Diana Cooper and her writings. I was interested myself because I didn't know what that was about. So what that means is when she says 2012 marks the opportunity for the return of the Golden Age of Atlantis, it means that psychic gifts will be highly regarded at some point, okay, that this is returning. This is a time when psychic gifts will be highly regarded, and all latent abilities in children will be honored, valued, and developed. Now, honesty, clairvoyance, telepathy, and clairaudience will become commonplace over time. In other words, everyone is going to accept that that's part of who we all are, that it's activating different parts of your brain, and we all have a brain. Some may think we don't, but we all have a brain.
And my daughter's studying a brain right now at college, so I think I'm going to have to thank you.
And so those are just parts of the brain that are activated, and it's just that it's not part of our mainstream understanding that we all have those abilities or that it's even recognized that they exist. But in other words, we're returning to the age when these things, when these parts of ourselves and our senses and abilities, we know that they exist. There won't even be a question anymore, and they'll be active because of that, and we'll practice. But also what will return is high levels of psychic attunement, spiritual connection will be maintained by being close to nature, and by relaxing and filling our lives with simple fun, creativity, laughter, and contemplation. And you're already seeing, like Dr. Ariel mentioned, a return to becoming green, being out in nature, and really valuing what it can do, not only for us emotionally and relaxing, but much more than that in terms of developing ourselves spiritually. So we're starting to see that now. We'll also understand how to live totally in the present, which I like a lot. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about future and the past and all that. And she says we'll understand how to live without negative words. We'll understand the impact of those more so. She says people will be able to access clean, free energy for lighting, heating, refrigeration, or transport through crystals in a grid. And I thought that was interesting. There will be no disease, she says. The medicine of the future is energy medicine, and people will balance and realign their mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies using sound and crystals. Now, people are using those, and we're seeing herbology, aromatherapy, homeopathy, and all those alternative healing modalities, as well as energy medicine like Reiki and, you know, all kinds of things along those lines. So we're kind of starting to see this now. We're seeing more and more people using that. I believe 66% of the American population has admitted in surveys to using some form of alternative healing. So it's definitely coming. Crystals and sound will be used for healing, to knit bones, regeneration of limbs, and detoxification. Herbalism, aromatherapy, and hypnotherapy will become more widespread. All the healing methods used in Atlantis have been returned to us, and we need to develop them. However, we more frequently need medical intervention now as we have much more deeply embedded karmic issues to deal with. That's what she says, but I also believe that's our mainstream mode of accepting health care. You know, we're geared towards that mentally.
In fact, that's a good point. And I want to make mention, I just happened to notice this on have you heard of swapping? It's like shopping, but swapping. And this is another way that people are giving back.
It's a good one.
What is it? Swapping?
No, it's swap. It's like people swapping item.
Yeah. Oh, called, swapping.
Yeah,
it's like recycling, really. It's great.
Like going. It's like, yeah, and not using money. They give it monopoly money, and you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, and not only women do this, but men too. But that's a way of connecting and coming together, because we're working right now in the economy and how we're in this dark. A lot of things are going on, but we are making our way with it, and we're connecting. We're connecting. So people are bringing these things. I saw this on the Nate show. Okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. I love that guy. And women, and they bring their high-end stuff that really they matters to them, but they're just not using it. Like there was a woman brought a vase from Egypt. So then that you get monopoly money in an envelope, and they drink, have their drinks, and they make a whole, you know, event party thing out of it. It's like, you know, Tupperware, but you bring your stuff. And there's clothing. There's also, I mean, designer bags. There's jewelry.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really
that idea.
Yes, it's really cool. And so that right there is something that we all can think about doing.
Yeah.
And but I mean, it's silly as it may sound, you know, it really is interesting. But I mean, I'll get more serious about this. But you know, it's right about. And I want to bring up another point that you know, Allura was talking about. Again, I know I use a synonym in my defense. I have a hard time pronouncing some words, but I was told 20 something years ago. And I was just understanding about Atlantis and reading up because I had this weird crystal that a record keeper was called, I found out. But anyway, I was told that I was one of the ascendants. And it wasn't like I thought it was all that. I didn't really care whether I was or not. But that's why I had a hard time pronouncing words. Because they did not pronounce words. Everything was done telepathy. Oh,
right.
So, no one can ever get upset with me if my grammar isn't very good. I remind everybody, I think every show I bring that up, and I'm laughing.
Just say I'm from Atlantis, deal with it.
Yeah,
exactly.
There you go.
So, Rita, I wanted to ask you, why was Atlantis so special?
Well, as you know, Diana Cooper is kind of an authority on it. She received a lot of downloads from her guides, one guide in particular named Kumika, and that's where she got a lot of this information, and most of her information has been channeled that way. But according to her, Atlantis was one of the longest-lived civilizations on Earth, and it lasted for 240,000 years. So just about everybody that's currently in a body right now, incarnated, has lived a life in Atlantis at some point in their previous lives. So what this means is we all hold memories about it at a cellular level. So that's kind of why everybody kind of feels so drawn toward Atlantis, because we do all have these latent memories about it. And it is believed to have been a cosmic experiment on Earth, basically to see if spirits could enter a physical incarnation, go through that veil of amnesia, experience what it's like to be human, emotions, sexuality, the senses, and yet still maintain that spiritual oneness with God. So according to Diana Cooper, that's why this place, Atlantis, holds such attraction to us. There were other experiments taking place on Earth at the same time, and each one had a different purpose. But the reason Atlantis was so special and different from the other trials on Earth at that time was that it was a controlled experiment. And she explains that there was a dome placed over Atlantis so that no one could enter. And that's kind of interesting to me, because when I think about that, I'm like, what does that mean? No one could enter. But, you know, I guess it's hard for us to really understand the deeper meaning of what these ancient civilizations meant. When you think of multidimensional realities, this could have been an experiment in which, you know, humans were tested. So, but most importantly, during this period, the people of Atlantis maintained a very high consciousness. And they created extraordinary spiritual technology, which we can't even begin to understand. But these are the things that, like your guest said tonight, we're beginning to bring these things back up to the surface again and really understand who we are and the powers that we have. So it's very special and important to us to understand Atlantis.
Yeah, be conscious of it. We actually
exactly, right.
And we're going to take a short commercial break right now and meditate, and we'll be right back.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Okay, and welcome back. And I would like to ask Steve, and thank you very much, Rita, for that insight. I really like that.
Oh, sure.
And Steve, I would like to ask you, what changes are we seeing in the business world? This is very interesting stuff, reflecting the 2012 energy.
Well, the whole show's been fascinating, Maureen, and I'm really excited that we're having our first 2012 show. I saw the plan for today's show and for the other three shows that we're running, and I know that we're going to cover some really exciting territory. I believe, or my guides tell me that the changes that we're experiencing as 2012 approaches are all-encompassing changes. So the economic downturn that we all know about is absolutely planned, in my opinion. And the reason I feel that it's planned is because we really needed to make changes in the way we do business. So I really liked what you guys were saying before about trading and people actually exchanging rather than consuming more and consuming new products or materials. And I think that that theme of sharing, of being responsible, of not consuming more than we really need to is really important. And I do quite a lot of work with businesses and with some large corporations, and you know, historically they've focused upon sustainability, and they've looked at their supply chains and how they can be more responsible in the way they source materials. And I'm seeing a really big shift at the moment, and I believe it's because of the economic downturn, which, as I said, is all part and parcel of 2012. And the really big change that I'm seeing is that corporations are really waking up to the fact that responsibility, a social responsibility, goes far beyond sustainability, goes far beyond sourcing. And, you know, because of all of the economic changes and organizations downsizing, many people have been moved into different roles or have been made redundant or taken jobs that they didn't necessarily dream of. And I'm seeing that many people are waking up to the fact that they're frustrated and they really want to focus upon their strengths and how they can really make a difference in the world. And I think that organizations, corporations are slowly waking up to this and realizing that employees and consumers and in fact shareholders are starting to view social responsibility much more broadly. Now, this doesn't sound very spiritual, but I believe that it absolutely is, because I believe that this is all part and parcel of the energy changes that we're seeing because of 2012. And we are going to see such huge changes in the way businesses operate, in the way employees are rewarded and treated, and the ways that we invest, the choices that we make about the corporations that we invest in as well.
You know, I really am glad that you brought this up, because I come from a very business background, financial entrepreneur. Family, if you're listening, family, you're on. Anyway, and Stephen, I know, because you and actually Rita and Laura also, and Doug, like all of us, and it fascinates me, because this is what's really come down to it, and what's happened with the greed and the corporations and all that. I think there are a lot of things happening, and that there are some people shifting. I always think of men. I'm sorry, I don't mean to, but men and women in the business and there is a shift going on. I've noticed it within close, you know, proximity of my family, or business associates of theirs as well. So,
and you know, Maureen, I think your comments about men and women is actually extremely important, because I'm seeing in corporations really realizing that they need to promote women, that they need to make sure that they have a balance on their board and in their levels of management within the organizations, and that in some organizations that balance is not right. And so we are seeing more and more women being being promoted, taking senior positions as they absolutely should in large organizations. And we're seeing more and more female CEOs. And this is all part and parcel of 2012 and the feminine energy and our shift towards some of the more feminine principles of sharing, of social responsibility, etc. So I think that your comment is extremely poignant.
Well, I do declare, I'm just going to accept that as one heck of a good compliment.
It sure is, and I agree to you. Because I think you need both feminine and masculine to balance things out, and I feel that's the same in our political structure, as well as business, as well as personal home and things like that. So, and individually.
And animals, too. Yin and the animals. And yin and the yangers and the heckles and jekylls. it is so true. And Rita, do you have anything to add about
this? You know what? I was actually in the chat room with a bunch of people, and we were talking about some people had some questions about that experiment that I mentioned, and there was a little confusion over what that meant. And I kind of knew that question was going to come up. People wanted to understand, well, whose experiment is this? And the way I understand it is that Atlantis itself was basically like an Eden, basically the height of human perfection, in that we were using all of our spiritual gifts, we were living in harmony together with ourselves, the earth, the animals. And then at one point, one person, one soul, wanted to, I guess, assume more power over the other, and at that point, a chain of events just began to happen, and the whole thing eventually devolved. Mm-hmm. And then it descended. So it's sort of like that proverbial fall from grace. You know, everything has cycles, and we too, are, as a human race, are going through a cycle right now. And where Atlantis was the high point and then crashed, and it's all this momentum has been building back up again to bring us back up to a point where we can once again kind of resurrect ourselves to the divine beings that we are and assume that we are one and know that we are one and begin living that way with conscious unity. So it's like the dark before the dawn is what's happening right now. And all the changes, you know, the pain we all felt when 9/11 happened, that was all preparatory to what's happening now in order to get us ready for these hard, difficult changes that we have to go through. It's like birthing a child. You have pain and then you have joy. So we are coming into the final throes of the darkness, and it's going to pass, and it's going to be a much lighter, more beautiful, loving place when we get through this change.
You know, I agree with you, and actually we've been going through this for so much longer. I mean, Vietnam, you know, mm-hmm. just and all that, like I was talking, even the Holocaust, just horrendous. But, you know, now we're coming to the resource and problem with, we're running out of resources. So now it's almost like, in a way, what's it going to take? You know, now
right.
we're really, you know, we're in it. We're already in it. So 2012, again, like I say, I think, like I said to her, aren't we kind of like Atlantis in some ways? We're almost like paralleling in some ways, except we're going to take it back. And I think the Mayan calendar, it has to do ending because we needed to start a new beginning, our own. A new language, a new calendar, a new everything. So I, for one, am looking forward to it, and I'm on board. And so, thank you for that, Rita. That was very insightful, mm-hmm. and I appreciate you checking
thank
into
you,
the chat room for that, because I can't, and I wouldn't have answered that so eloquently as well. So, you know, I know we had other information to share, but we ran a little over, but we are going to get ready to do our online readings. And so we have come to that part of this show. I feel like Mr. Rogers. We've come to that part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions. So you can either call in. We would like you to call in. We would really like you to call in. And the number for free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. And please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So just we ask that you just relax and listen to the show while you wait. You'll be hearing us talking to whoever else we're giving readings to. And we ask please be very specific and direct with your question, as this will really allow for us to better connect with your situation we really would appreciate that. It's just, it's a nice thing to ask. So, there you have it. And so, do we have a caller on a call? Do we have any calls right now? I haven't checked. And if we don't have a caller yet, you're more than welcome. If you're a little shy, but don't be shy. But if you are and you're in the chat room, I'm not in the chat room. If anybody has a question in there, can anybody let me know?
Oh, okay. Let me put a little note out here.
Because I know then the phone lines will start ringing right when, but some people, I need to go check, say hi to everybody. Hi, everybody in the chat room.
They're all saying hi to you, by the way. Everybody loves you, Maureen. There's lots of love in the chat room for Maureen.
And tell them I'm not ignoring them. I just can't multitask my cup. Well, if no one else, okay, we have plenty of other things to do. We'll just talk away here, and we'll wait till somebody does, and I would like to ask, this is interesting. Talking about dolphins, Rita and Allura, I wanted to tell you, Allura, you've been here with me pretty long. I've been speaking about dolphins because I live down at the beach here and how close they have been in shore with the surfers recently. It's been amazing. I don't know, Rita or Steve, if you were on the show at that time when I was talking about it in the summertime. They were so close, and I was like, everybody's like, wow. They were dancing around the surfers, just like, it was like I've been here for 10 years, and I've never seen anything like that. So, with that said, I wanted to ask, Laura, will the golden Atlantis, what do you think, return? Do you think it's going to return?
Well, I honestly did not really learn about the golden Atlantis until I did some research for this show. I do see signs of it, you know, like when we were talking about the energy healing modalities, crystal healing modalities, sound healing, which is very powerful. I've experienced that myself. And the holistic healing modalities like nutrition, herbology, massage, cranial sacral work, homeopathy, and all those things are definitely returning. Like I said, a survey showed that 66% of Americans have experienced those or used those forms of healing. And that's just in America. In Europe, they use that they're homeopathists everywhere. And herbology is used everywhere. So it's a norm there. So worldwide, third world countries use these things because medicine is very expensive. And the machinery, the technology for medicine, is also very expensive. So worldwide, this is all definitely becoming very important. Raising your children, there are all kinds of, now we're starting to see conscious parenting courses and things of that nature. So based on what she's saying and based what I have seen, I would say, yes, Diana Cooper is right. The golden age of Atlantis is returning. And what she says is, and this is another little tidbit she gave that I thought was interesting. She says that in golden Atlantis, people there had 12 chakras that glowed and were active, that they were illuminated, radiated. However, five, she says, have closed as the pure power diminished. She says, as we evolve again, these will be reactivated within us so that we can once more connect with Source and heal our planet. I do believe we have more than seven chakras. So, and I believe those will become active because as common sense would dictate, we're going to move towards activating those eventually. I would say yes. Now, she says the angels of Atlantis returned to Earth a few years ago seeking those who are pure and dedicated enough to work with them to help develop another golden era. She says if you love crystals and dolphins, talk to your plants, or dream you can fly, you are probably in golden age and have reincarnated now to bring the energy back. I do believe that reincarnation is a probability. I do believe that many of us have incarnated to from other places to help raise the consciousness of Earth at this time. So if we're here at this time when we have a natural bent to do that, then she's probably on the mark.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You know, we have a call. I think that energy you just put out there.
All right.
We got a call from Indiana on that one.
All right.
Hello.
Thank you. Hello. Oh, hello, Indiana. And what's your name?
This is Michelle, actually, Sequeria.
Hi, Michelle Sequeria. This woman is Atlantis material. How are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
We're having a ball of the time over here. Well, I am.
We all are.
Well, I was wondering, I mentioned it in the chat room earlier, but I was just wondering, I've been having like a lot of anxiety and worry lately, more than usual, and I was just wondering if it has to do with all this changing and everything that's going on.
So you've been anxious, like the feeling of anxiousness
in
some ways?
Yeah, a lot of anxiousness about my kids and just life and, health and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the chat room, and those are signs of the awakening and ascension. And this is a time where you're going to be asked to trust. You have to trust, and I know it's hard to trust, especially when you're a parent, because there's fear when you have children and you let them out into the world. And this is, I just want to offer this up to you. This is where angels have come into my life, and you use them for these purposes. Like if you're afraid of anything, if you want to protect your children on their way to school, you ask Archangel Michael to put his blue cloak of protection around them, and you send them off, you kiss them on their head, and you just trust and know that they're going to be okay. But you have to believe it. So the anxiety comes from not really trusting and not believing.
Right.
And that's the piece that we all are working on right now, I think, globally. Does anybody else have anything for Michelle?
I do. I have a little something. And that was really beautiful, what you just conveyed. It was insightful. Michelle, my feelings is, it's very important for you to be around right now, I wouldn't say for everybody, for your energy, around people, sisterly, the female energy that you're celebrating with, like sisterly love, that makes you embrace and just kind of socialize, almost to take the edge off. The male energy is not good. there's some male energy just not good. And I'm not saying all the men in the world are not good, but it's just there's some intense male energy. And I also feel that you yourself have this vision that's incredibly, it transcends way beyond a normal vision, and as well as water. When you're around water, I think it would calm you down. You get a lot of vision, and you're able to almost, like, people might look at you and they think you're spacing out. In reality, you're just able to see, and water is something that really gives it, it's almost like a tool. Anything in the rain, take a bath, whatever.
That's so weird you said that. You know what? Poseidon just popped, like, before you even said that, Poseidon. Now, I don't know why that would pop up, but he's obviously that god of water or something. But there's some connection there with the water, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about how Poseidon was one of the things that did go under the sea, too, that flourished.
That just popped in, like, as soon as you started talking about water, I got visions of Poseidon and that trident and the power.
Oh.
That's really cool.
Michelle, did you get that? Did you follow? Does that make any sense to you?
What was that?
Does that make any sense to you?
Yes. Yes, it does.
It's okay to acknowledge that you're having, because there is a lot of stuff, but you, I think, there's a lot of things that are coming out of you that's, it's like we were talking about with the guests, you're getting back to your true authentic self. I also call it getting back into your true skin, nature, which can be, when it starts happening, can be anxiety and stuff. But I'm not going to go into this. There's a male energy. It's just not, we're colored by our environment. It's very good for you to be around the proper environment if you can, if you're able to.
Yeah, I get the sense that she's absorbing like toxic energy from a male energy, and the water is coming now. You have to use water now to cleanse yourself, and I don't mean like because you lack hygiene. It's a spiritual cleansing. So, just a quick recommendation: if you can take a bath with some sea salts, just soak in a tub as long as you can with the sea salts, and just feel all the negative male crap or negative energy just leach right out of you. It's going to purify.
Go down that drain. Goes bye bye down the drain. Yeah.
I also get that a lot of your anxiety is because you're not as the way we're raised, we need to know what's coming, or else we get worried rather than kind of take it a day at a time and be okay with it. In other words, know that things will work out as long as we do the next right thing, so to speak, or check into ourselves to be in our integrity or centered whenever in the present moment, so that we know that things will work out, because whatever comes up next, we'll know what to do. You know what I mean? Or the answer will come to us. So what I'm getting is that you are worried because you can't see what's around the corner, basically. But really, just a part of this is has to do with your growth process and learning to be okay with that, learning that even though we've been told we have to know what's coming and what to do and how the future's going to be, you really don't know what we're going to do, because the future is changeable. It's going to be based on whatever you feel right now and the decision you make next with it. And for you, this is coming in, and it's a very important thing, and it's a great thing, actually. So it's going to do you a tremendous amount of good to get there, to get to where you can be just centered and know, you know what, it's fine. No matter what things look like, I'm going to be fine, and I'm going to know exactly what to do. I just need to kind of center myself. And once I'm in my integrity, or I check in with my heart and where I'm at and how I feel about things, I'll know what to do. And then you won't be so anxious.
Trusting. You gotta trust yourself. Absolutely. Yeah. It's right down there, right in your solar plexus. I can see it. It's right there. You have this little bit of fear. And again, it's invoking help. And you know, use your angels. But invoke that help to kind of trust. You're gonna have to trust that everything is as it should be right now. There are no wrong decisions. Whatever you do is the correct decision. And you are in good hands right now.
Exactly.
So, no need to worry. No need to worry.
Okay.
You're going to be fine. Well, you do. You have lots of angel energy around you right now. You have at least two that I can see. And I think that they are Abigail and Melissa. If you call on Abigail and Melissa and ask them to help cleanse you of anything that's toxic, that's causing the anxiety, they'll help in that process. So.
Okay.
You have lots of love around you.
Thank you so much.
Lots of love.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. And you know how I feel about you. You're just wonderful. Thank you for calling.
I feel the same way about you.
Thank you for calling so much, and we'll see you next week. And there you have it. And let's see. We have two calls on hold, everybody. We have a call from Pennsylvania, and one from Hawaii on hold. We'll get to you in a moment. Hi, Pennsylvania, and welcome.
Hi, this is Beth. How are you?
Hi, Beth. How are you?
Good. I actually had a question about a person that I went out on a date with last Friday night, and it's not Craig. So I just wanted your general impression. Is it a good thing, a bad thing? Do you think there's any potential?
Okay. We haven't heard. Steve's still around, isn't he? I think. I hope Steve's still
absolutely
here.
Absolutely, yeah.
There he is.
Sorry, I missed your name. Sorry.
Oh, it's Beth.
Beth.
Okay, Beth. It's really interesting because just before you called in, my guide started talking in my ear, and you're a really great character, and I don't normally say this, it might sound a bit odd, but of me to say this on the show, but my guides are saying that you're extremely attractive. You have very beautiful eyes, and people find you very alluring, so I feel confident that the date was good and that there is a lot of interest. But I feel, Beth, as though this is not the time for you to settle into a long-term relationship anyway. My guides are talking about change in the professional field for you, and I feel inclined to say that your highest priority should be to think about your profession, your career. I know that you're successful, but my guides are sort of encouraging you to think about change and think about moving forward with work, and it's almost as though everything else will follow. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. And I do want to give you very clearly the name Peter, because my guides are saying the name Peter very clearly for you, and I feel as though the name Peter is relevant for you in the future, and it feels like relationship rather than work. But also, there's an elderly gentleman, a gentleman who's balding in spirit, and he's giving me the letter P as well, and he's also talking about Philip.
Okay. I don't know a Peter or a Philip, so that's okay.
Okay, is that I'm getting the two names clearly, and want you to just keep those names in mind. I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you.
And come on, girls.
Okay. Go ahead.
I want you to. No, go for
okay.
it.
Okay. What I get is it's Beth, right? Beth is going through. It was Beth who asked the question, correct?
Yes.
I was concentrating on the question. I get that you are going through a change, as Steve is saying, and it's very important for you. It's going to bring you more into who you are. As far as a relationship is concerned, my guides are saying let go of the thought of that. Don't worry about whether or not there's potential. You already know whether or not there is. There's potential. You see that. You have a lot of insight, and there is some potential there. But they're saying just not that you have to let it go and not have a relationship, but not to worry about that. You can already see what it's about.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
But concentrate on being true to yourself.
That's the sense okay. I get also. I'm getting a strong sense of a personal focus rather than an external focus on a relationship. So it's all tying in together with what everybody else is saying, is that it's exciting and fun, the relationship part. What the angels are telling me is not to take that piece of your life too seriously right now. That's more fun, diversion, a fun diversion from your true work, which is really focusing on your work and your career. So they want you to be taken seriously, and they want you to project that image. And so they say that this, you know, any kind of a relationship that you have right now is really more for fun, not for something that you should really be pouring all of yourself into with all your energy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Is Beth there?
Beth?
Oh, we must have lost her. She was out in the chat room, too.
Yeah,
so
hopefully
she
got
there.
The rest
she's
of that.
She's still listening. Okay.
Thank you, Beth, for calling in. And you can listen to the archives as well to get the rest of that. I would also like to welcome Hawaii. Hawaii, I think I knew this. Hawaii, and welcome to our show. I will wait for Hawaii, because if it is who I think it is, we got to wait for Hawaii. Hawaii, what?
You know what? Yeah. We do have a question. If Hawaii is not on the line, there was one that Julie asked.
Wait, there he is. Is this Michael?
Oh, never mind.
Michael?
Wait, I keep getting muted, unmuted. Am I muted or unmuted?
We hear you loud and clear as it should be.
Oh.
This is Michael. I believe it, I'm so psychic. Is this Michael?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Michael, and thank you for calling all the way from Hawaii, and welcome to our show.
I called you guys before. Yes, I just wanted to say, you guys do such an awesome job.
Aw, thank you.
We love it when you just compliment the heck out of us. But we know that you have some questions for us. We just know it. Come on.
Actually, no, I want to make a remark. You know, you folks were talking about 2012, and I think it's a great subject to talk about, because I was watching an interesting documentary called, I told Maureen about this, it was called 2013 Time Wave, and it's a documentary, and this guy in the documentary travels to Peru, and he talks to the astral shaman priests up in the mountains who are descendants of the Mayans, and they say basically what you folks are saying nothing's going to happen in 2012. It's the West and Hollywood that's hyping everything up. 2012 is going to be a spiritual time. Are you guys
yes.
there?
Well, yeah, I you know how I feel about that.
Yes.
That goes without saying. And their spiritual soldiers getting ready to kick everybody's butt because we need to get on that bandwagon and get going, or the rest of the people will be behind. So, yeah, it is interesting what you brought up about that. In fact, I checked more into that after that. You mentioned it. It's really cool, actually. But you don't have a question? You don't want any insight?
I'm just going to throw it out there. Do you folks have anything from me from the spirit world? I don't have really any questions. I just want to call up and say you folks do awesome jobs making people's lives better. I was trying to.
But thank
you. If you have any questions for me from the other side, I shall take it gladly.
Okay. Well, look at that.
I don't have any questions, really.
Michael, do you surf?
Yeah, right.
Do you? You know how to surf, or huh? Do you watch surfers? I'm getting pictures of surfers in my head.
No, don't surf. Me and sharks have an understanding of each other. They don't like me, and I don't like them.
I don't know. I think one of them might be after you. Stay out of the water. No, just kidding.
I actually have something for you, Michael.
Mm-hmm. And this is Allura?
Yes, this is Allura. I apologize. I didn't tell you who I am.
No, it's a problem. It's breaking up really bad on my side. It's hard to understand sometimes.
Okay. Michael, you are a really awesome person. That's the first thing I get. However, one of the things Spirit's saying...
Uh-oh.
No, I shouldn't say however, because you're still an awesome person. It's not, but... You're not. You're an awesome person.
Know,
and in order to reach your fullest potential, that's really what Spirit is saying, it's really important for you to put into practice what you believe. You have to, what I'm hearing is, so I'm going to say this only because I'm hearing this, get off your hiney and get to work. That's what they're saying. Make decisions. Really go inside and see what
I know what you're saying. Thanks.
What's
I
that?
Mean, you know what? You're right, 100% on the button, because I meditate a lot, and I always talk to my guides, and what you're just saying is confirmation, because I get that message over and over, and I ignore it.
Uh-huh, that's it. Okay. They're saying pay attention and do it. Take action on it. And that will give you a frame of reference if you feel you need to step back and do something else or take a different direction, you can. But if you don't take action, you don't really get the energy moving and contribute to the world like you are here to do. And so, don't be afraid to make decisions and get up and take action and really go with your heart.
Do they feel I should meditate more? I used to meditate a lot and I stopped for a while. And I still talk to my guides all the time, but do you want me to go back and to actually sit down and meditate more, or just do what I'm doing now?
But do they? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah,
are you asking
that? That could be a question.
I'm feeling that they want you. You can certainly meditate, Michael, but they want you to actually take action. Get up physically and start doing or talking, whatever, whether it's calling somebody. Whatever work you're here to do, you've got to do it. You've got to actually take action on it. Okay, those thoughts or messages you're getting, whatever it is that they're talking to you about, or whatever you feel intuitively, or even just in everyday life, just get up and do it. I don't care if it's playing sports, like Rita was saying, surfing, and you don't have to surf, but whatever it is, get up and do it. Start getting your body in motion.
You're right on the money. Yeah.
What's that?
You're right on the money because I have a friend. She's a great tarot card reader. I don't know if you know Miss Lucy from PTN TV. She has a show. Maureen knows her, but Lucy told me the same thing a couple weeks ago too. Like, you're just confirming it.
Okay, great.
So,
well, thank you, Michael.
Yeah. And is Steve still there?
Yes, Michael, and thank you, because I have got some insight for you, Michael. I'm really excited that you asked about meditation, because I wanted to go, before we I wanted to make a point about meditation, and it was connected to Maureen's comment. She said something about ding-dong, like the sound, the ding-dong sound, the sound of a bell. And I wanted to tell you a story. I think it makes sense to you in some way. Many years ago, somebody gave me a beautiful chime, and it's a chime that I've never seen anything like it. It's very big, and it has big pieces, almost like plate size pieces of metal, and it has it mentions China, and it's just fascinating. And I put it away in my attic when I lived in the UK, and when I moved to the States, I didn't realize that I had it with me. And I had a reading from a very good palm reader in London. He's actually in spirit now. He was wonderful, a guy named Marshall. And he told me that when I committed full-time completely to my spiritual work, that a chime would move itself and make sounds itself. And I, you know, he said many things in the reading, and I didn't really take much notice because it didn't make much sense to me at the time. But anyway, this afternoon I found this big Chinese chime in my attic, and I put it in my study where I do my work, and it was chiming before the show by itself. So the window wasn't open, I wasn't sort of waving a bucket in or anything or moving around. It literally just chimes by itself. And the reason I wanted to tell you this is because spirits have asked me to tell you this story for two reasons. One is you have a strong connection with China, and you have a gentleman, a Chinese gentleman that stands behind you, and he's a guide to you. Have you seen your guides before?
I've talked to one of them. I know one of my main guides is a female. I believe her name is, oh gosh, I had brain freeze. I can't remember her name. I'm going to hang up and remember her name. I do have a main guide who is a female. I talk to her a lot. I believe I have other guys. In fact, I do know I have other guys. I have not talked to them. I have not met my, physically, I have seen my main guide once, and when I was meditating. I have not really asked them to manifest. It's just because I have had, that is taking me a hard time to do, because emotionally I am scarred, as in I did that once a long time ago when I actually asked one of my guides to manifest themselves. And I had the wrong spirit come through, and it was not my guide that actually showed up. And ever since then, I just, when it comes to stuff like that, I have a hard time doing it.
Okay, I keep getting the name Anna Maria coming through to you. Anna Maria or something like that.
I can talk to them one-on-one, but when I actually come in to ask them to manifest themselves, no, it's like a part of me doesn't want to do it. It's hard for me.
Well, Michael, I wanted to just end the reading for you, because my guides wants to give you a little bit more information. That I want to give you this connection with China, firstly because this gentleman stands behind you, and he is a guide. You don't need to be fearful of him. He gives me the letter X, and I feel as though his name begins with the letter X. So look out for him, but don't be fearful about your guides or the spirit world. You really don't need to be. You have wonderful energy, and if you look back to that time when you had an issue, you're in a very different sort of state of mind and way of life now. But this gentleman, it sounds like Yang, or I get a sort of Yang sound. I'm not sure if that's a name, a Chinese name or not, but I also want to call him that. he's mentioning dolphins. So I know we talked a little bit about surfing and sharks before, but I get dolphins for you. But he's talking more generally about animals and particularly children. And he's saying that, you know, the sound of the gong was relevant because of the China connection, but also because using sound is very important part of your future. But you're asking about, you know, getting up and what you should do. This gentleman, Yang is saying you should be working with children. And I am pretty sure that you will, in some capacity in life, have a connection with children in China. But it doesn't start with China, but you definitely have a great gift with children.
Okay. Thanks. That's great. I have one other question. Maybe you pulled it up.
Michael. Okay.
Go ahead.
We have another person waiting for a call. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Don't be sorry. I don't want you to be sorry. But I would like you to maybe ask it in the chat, because we don't have anyone after her yet. So I like it when you ask questions for a change, because you need to. So. Why don't you do that, and then you can call in or ask. I want you to keep that question, and then we'll get to Julie, and then we'll go back to you, because we don't have anybody else waiting after Julie.
Okay.
How about that? Fair and square? Or you can call back in.
Yeah, no problem.
You promise?
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and handle Julie, then I'll get back to you folks.
Okay, great. You promise. Okay.
Thanks a lot for everybody.
Good luck, Michael.
Thanks, Michael. You're great.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And he opened up in question. That's unusual for him. But I think we'll get to Julie. And Michael, I do want you to call back in. I really do. And you promised. So, hi, Julie. And she has a question in the chat room. And, Alora, would you mind reading it?
Sure.
Okay.
Not a problem. Julie's question is, I have been trying things differently. Am I headed in the right direction?
Okay.
So that's her question. I've been trying things differently. Am I headed in the right direction? Julie, I just want to ask you, can you let us know if that's business or personal or something? Can you give us a little bit more about what specific, so we can hone in more easily as to what area of life you're talking about?
Like, is your hair you're doing different? No, I'm joking.
Yeah. No, I think it might be business. Yeah, it might be business, but I just want to be sure.
No, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that way we can hone.
And I always that word honing in just never suited me. There it is.
Communication with others and, hang on, she's adding.
And wait for it.
And
there you have it.
And other personal thing.
Got it. Thanks. And healing.
Good. Okay.
Got it. Good. What is that avatar? It's so your avatar, Janae.
No,
it's like staring at me with those hard eyes.
My hair is different.
Yes, it's very, very, very new age. I transcends anything else. Okay.
So I have been trying things differently. My head in the right direction. That's her question with regard to communication with others, and healing, and other personal things. So we should probably hit those each.
So she wants to know if she's making, she wants to know if she's making headway, because she's been in areas of her life, because she's been doing things. I like how she asks this. I got something.
Okay, go for it.
I'll go for it. You know, Julie, I feel you've had a lot of, you've had a lot of stuff. It's passed. And it's a good thing, because, you know, like, I hate, you know, when things are happening, it's not really positive. You go, and this will soon pass. Those are one of the things, those P words, perseverance and patience. I don't like that. Pass. This soon will pass. Well, something has passed, and it has to do with something that might have been legal, something that wasn't real positive. Now it's behind you. You have, but it was intense lessons and stuff going through. But what I do want to tell you is I think you need to work on useful and useless sacrifices. I think I've mentioned it. I don't know if anybody here has heard me, but what I mean by that, You have an opportunity, instead of doing useless sacrifice, and what I mean by that, useless would be when you get nailed to the cross, I'm using this as metaphorically, like Jesus, but then you don't get resurrection. That is useful, painful sacrifice. That's a sacrifice with no resurrection. I suggest you try to look at, in a certain way, useful sacrifice is extremely painful, but you get to resurrect. And they're both very similar, except one you resurrect, the other one is just a waste of, you know, how many times have we said, oh, I really, you know, I sacrifice something, or I, what's the word, it goes my old timers, ultimate, you know, whatever, you gave up something, or you compromised, yeah. The thing is, there's a relationship something coming up here for you, and it's very positive. I see it within the next, it's like within the next 4 to 6 months, really fully being real present. It's really positive with a lot of harmony. This is matters of the heart stuff I'm picking up on. Now, the other people's readings may be different than mine, but like I said, you need to focus on no more useless sacrifices. So being with yourself and doing what you're doing, kind of, it might be a little, is really the key here. And I think you're doing just what you should be doing, but something might come, oh, I don't know. I just see a really good relationship. I do feel that there's a little bit more work or more inward work that needs to be just done in the voice of silence and just being still.
Yes, I get that too. I actually get, Julie, your question is, I've been trying things differently. Am I headed in the right direction? I'm getting absolutely, you are most definitely headed in the right direction. I know you can't see where that's going necessarily, but you're really taking a higher-minded stance, and that's the direction you're going in, and because of that, things are falling into place, or they will. And what Maureen said about going within is very much what I'm getting as well. You know, go into your prayer space or whatever it is you do. That is really, really going to be very, very good for you. But you're right now, you're in the right place. And things, you're definitely headed in the right direction. The way you're doing things is awesome.
Yeah, I just got, as I was waiting, I just sort of channeled in a message, so I typed it and put it out on the chat room. And basically, it's Julie's heart is opening up and is finally clear for the work that is ahead. She's been wavering for some time on the questions of which direction to go. Julie must begin to focus on learning the lessons of the past and say to herself, what have I learned from my difficulties? Because there, like Maureen said, there has been a long line of difficulties. The path is open for you to be a channel for peace, love, and healing to others. You've been waiting for an opportunity to become part of something bigger than yourself, and it is now approaching. So they say let yourself be open to the new ideas, and there will be more new ideas popping in your head. And the feeling I got was more of a sense of service, of helping people who are in worse situations than you. I don't know what that could mean. It could mean volunteering at a shelter or something like that, but that's the sense that I got, that there's some kind of piece of you that needs to do that kind of work, and that's going to help clear up some of the issues with understanding where you've been and what the lessons were. Does that make sense, Julie? Oh, she's not on the phone. Yeah, I forgot.
Lord, did you have more to say, or Steve?
No, that's okay. I was actually finished, so that was good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean
no,
to.
No, that was good. That was good.
I felt you wrapping up. So. Okay.
You did, and you actually expanded on what I had to say, so it all smoothly, it worked out. It was perfect.
Okay.
Steve's still with us. I know he's bouncing back from...
just to reaffirm some of the things you said, you know, my guys are saying that Julie hasn't always had it easy, and she's made some tough decisions, and they're particularly tough because she's chosen a path that wasn't the easier path to take. So my guides are saying that she could have made the decision to go in a direction that wasn't really the direction she wanted to go in. It wasn't really her higher calling. But it would have been the easier direction to go in. It would have been a much simpler path, and financially it would have been more lucrative sooner, but she's taken the high road and she really has done the right thing, and she really is a great example of, you know, the change in energy that we've been talking about throughout the show. And you know, our guest was talking a little bit about the violet energy, and we've all talked previously about indigo children, etc. And you know, many of us have a calling to do something really important and to try and make a big difference. And my guides are just applauding Julie because she's chosen that path, and it wasn't necessarily the easiest path for her to take in the short term, but it will absolutely pay off for her because she's wonderful and has wonderful healing energy, and is fabulous again with children. There's this theme about children this evening for some of our callers. So I hope that helps, Julie, and wish you lots of love.
She says that does make sense. Thank you. Yippee! I'm glad I'm finally heading the right. It's not that you're finally. You've done it on your own, and it takes a while. It's not good for you, Julie. And I'm giving you a clap.
Yes, kudos to you. You've done your work.
Yeah, and that's great. And Danny, please come back next week. I didn't realize what time it was, you guys. I was spacing out to another time.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, and Danny, please come back next week so we can have you on. Online. I know that we have we're running over time. There's Michael is back on the line, so Michael can come back. Michael, hello.
Hello, I'm here. I'm just listening to you folks.
Yeah, we're going to go a little bit. We went over a little bit over tonight, but we're
they don't mind it.
Yes,
they don't mind it. So,
no, actually, go for it, and we'll just we'll get right in it, and then we'll say our goodbyes. You go for it.
Okay.
We're ready.
One question for y'all. I forgot to ask it the last time. I told you before I'm empath. I don't practice that much, but I know I am. A lot of times, I hear voices. Especially when I'm lying down at night, like when everything's quiet, and I'm trying to go to sleep, or I'm at that state where you're not asleep but you're not awake fully. I hear voices sometimes. I don't know if they're trying to call me or what. What do I do? Should I just ignore them? Or I mean, I don't feel scared. I can hear things. Sometimes I know there is a child. There is one spirit child that comes to me. I know because she will bug me because she likes to play a lot. And a lot of times I've been laying down. I can hear her in my ear saying, like, wake up, or what are you doing, or don't go to sleep. I've actually heard her say, don't go to sleep. One time I was going to lay down, and I was tired, and I actually heard that. What do I do, though? Should I respond or just try to ignore it? I don't feel I'm ready yet. That's how I feel.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm sorry, Maureen.
No, I want you to know. Go ahead. Go for it.
Gosh. You know, Michael, here's what I get for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really time for you to learn about that. Remember I said it's important for you to take actions? Your guides are telling you just
mm-hmm.
got to take action on it. What would happen if you heard, don't go to sleep now? What, like, is that like really late at night?
Yes,
when you get
like one
that,
time,
or
one time
when
I
did
heard it was, huh?
When did that happen? Well,
right.
Let me ask you this: what would happen? What harm would there be if you listened and didn't go to bed, and then ask the guide, "What is the next action you would like me to take?" And wait for your answer, and try and do what you're asked to do, as long as you know it's not harmful to anybody. You know, yeah. But
what happened? Go ahead.
So Pardon?
Well, what happened in that situation was, a child was bugging me the whole night. I could hear things moving in the room, banging things, and she wanted attention. I think she wanted to play with somebody, and I finally, at 4 in the morning, I was so tired. I said, look, I said, I can't, I'm going to sleep. You know, I'm dead tired. And as soon as I laid my head down on the pillow, I heard, don't go to sleep yet. What are you doing? It's like she wants someone to play with, you know, stick with her.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I think Steve would be better apt to answer this one because I think he has more of an answer for you. So I'm going to let him take over.
Okay.
Well, I thank you, Laura. And I wanted to say I'm going to want to ask you a question, Michael, but I shouldn't ask you a question because it's as psychics we shouldn't ask too many questions. So how do I put this? I feel as though the little girl has blonde hair, very sort of golden, curly blonde hair. Did you see her hair?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But another person who saw her, another person who did see her, said exactly what you said.
Well, that's really, really exciting because I've seen this little girl for a number of years, and it's very. I really like your energy, Michael, and I really love the energy of the show. And you know, this little girl only appears under very special circumstances. She used to appear in my home in England when we used to have a mediumship circle in my apartment. So she's drawn to very good energy, and she's very playful, and she does want to play. And you'll see that she rolls a ball. She'll throw a ball across the room, and you can actually play with her. We did this with her in a séance once. We actually encouraged a friend to join the séance, and this was somebody that didn't believe in mediumship or in the spiritual work that we're also interested in. So we brought him in, and we said, okay, we're going to see where she throws the ball. We're not going to say anything, but we're going to invite you as the guest to move to the part of the room that she throws the ball to. And we wrote down quietly where she was throwing the ball. And we did it four times, and each time he went to the part of the room that we all saw the ball going to. And when we looked at each other's papers afterwards, it was just perfect. We were all really in sync. So going back to what we said about children, children are very important in your path, Michael, and you're very blessed to have this little girl come to you, and we're very blessed. I take it as a real blessing for the show and for everybody that's listening and participating with their energy, and because she comes under very special circumstances, and you'll feel her touch your hair. And I'm not going to say any more because I've talked for quite a while, but I wanted to say that to you because she's very special. And I think that our show is very special, and you are very special because she came to you personally. And you don't need to be fearful. You can actually play the game with her, and you'll see that she responds. She has wonderful, very loving, healing energy. And I think that she's a sign that you have a big mission with children.
Okay.
Hope that helped you, Michael. And I think that was very enlightening. I've never heard such intense stuff with yours. But yeah. I think that's. Well, I'm sorry, Steve, if I interrupted you, but I think.
No, not at all. I was done. I'm just really excited because she's so special.
Were you in the middle of Steve?
No, I was just saying, Maureen, that you.
What happened to everybody? Can anybody hear me?
Yeah,
can you hear us? Can you hear us, Maureen?
Okay. I guess I lost somebody.
Can
anybody hear me?
I'm here.
No one can hear me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Maureen. You can't hear us?
Lost. Oh, you can. Well, why am I? Okay. We can hear you. I just can't hear anybody talking. Well, we need to close the show out. I can't hear anybody else.
Yeah.
Like Michael.
Anyway, I
know. I can see you. And I could go on. Hello, is anybody hearing me for like five more days? I've fallen. I can't get up. Okay, we're ready. Now, I'm sorry to say we have come to the close of our show. Michael, thanks for calling in. And thanks, Steve and Rita, for hanging out. And Laura in the chat rooms, why I was not able to.
Thank you.
I would like to close with, it brings us to a great, amazing first show of our four-part series of 2012. And I wish to thank my like-minded co-host and our executive producer, Doug, for being so supportive, really supportive. And Rita, again, we are thrilled to have you join our team. Next week's show will be anchored by Laura. And Laura, what can we look forward to next week?
Well, next week it's going to be, our topic is going to be on numerology, the 2012 factor. And we're going to have Carmen Hara as our guest. If you go on YouTube, look her up. You'll find she's amazing. She is renowned as a singer. She's renowned as a numerologist. Hillary Clinton is a client of hers, so she's a big-time lady. She's appeared on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, as well as cable networks. So I think you're really going to enjoy her, and we look forward to having her. She's an awesome woman. So please join us next week, and we're going to have a good show. Thank you for joining us tonight. I look forward to having you with us next week. Have a great week, and God bless. Rita, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Please, you're welcome to go on next if you want to say something.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
It was a lot of fun being on with you guys tonight. I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate everybody in the chat room and the callers tonight. Thank you for your beautiful energy and for sharing it with us tonight. And keep talking to your angels. They're listening. Steve?
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you with us this evening, Rita. I know that we're going to have some great shows, and so thank you for joining us. It's great to have you as part of the Psychic View, and thank you to Maureen, who did a great job hosting us this evening, and lots of love to everybody. So we wish you all a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to having you back on the show with us next week.